And we're going to read one verse together, verse number 8. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8. If you have a King James Bible, let's read together, shall we? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Let's read it one more time, shall we? He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I'm going to talk to you this morning, and it'll be a series on the love of God. Dear God, again, thank you for loving us, for being such a wonderful, merciful, forgiving God. Thank you for being so long-suffering and patient with us. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you, Lord, for your attributes, but your love, your mercy, your forgiveness of sins. Thank you, dear God, that your judgment forced us to plead for mercy to know your love. Bless, I pray, this sermon this morning. Bless these dear folks for their faithfulness. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You cannot know the love of God until you realize the judgment of God, ask for mercy of God, and then you'll understand a little bit, comprehend a little bit how much God loves you. The word love has been tossed about so much today, falsely, that people have no idea what love is. And I have Webster's 1828 dictionary here, runs about a page and a half, almost a full page, or more than a full page of the definition of the word love. But God puts it in three words in 1 John 4, 8. He said, God is love. So if you get this definition of God is love down, you will understand how you are to love properly, how you are to love people, how you're to love God. Take your Bible, please, and let's read a little bit ahead and read the whole thing, not together, but starting in verse number 7, look what it says here. 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. People think that love today is lust, and they're two separate things. People are too hooked and addicted to sensual stuff, sensual lust, not love, not the love of God, not the love of the Holy Spirit, not the love of the Word of God, not the love for one another. So their definition of love is a warped, perverted definition that is not found in the Word of God. But as we read here, the Bible says that God is love. And we know that Jesus, God, John chapter number 1, verse number 1 and verse number 14 very clearly says that Jesus is the Word of God. So if God is love, which is what he says, this book is love. The Word of God is love, which means you can find out all about what love really is from the book that you have in front of you. There are certain things that are written in this book that are very, very kind. There are certain things written in this book that are very, very fearful. There are certain things written in this book that are very, very forgiving and merciful. And there's certain things in this book that are of fiery indignation and of torment. All coupled together is love. You cannot believe that God is love without the God of judgment. You cannot believe that God is love without the God of truth. You cannot believe that God is love without what you don't want to think, what most people don't want to think about the mean, and I put that in quotes, the mean characteristics of a God of judgment. But yet that's what the Bible says, God is love. And so we must approach God with the love that God has and who he is to understand what love really is. If you want to love God, if you want to love others, you must first learn who God is. I tell you, I don't know if there's anything better knowing that God loves you. I don't know if there's anything else that can ease the mind, that can give peace to the mind, to the soul, knowing that God Almighty, the creator of the universe, loves you. I can't think of anything else. And so if you can get this study down, this sermon down, this truth down, there will be nothing in your life that, according to Romans 8, that if we have time, we're going to read it, that will separate you from the love of God. Nothing except yourself. If you can understand this truth about falling in love with the God that loves you the way that God loves you and the way that you ought to love God, there is nothing in this world that will ever shake you. Nothing. Keep reading verse number 9. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You didn't think about loving God. God loved you first. You weren't thinking about God. God was thinking about you. And here's the love of God. He gave his only Son as a propitiation for our sins, so that you wouldn't have to die and go to hell to pay for your sins. But you realize most people do not receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. They do not receive the love of God. They've rejected the love of the truth. Yet, but God's love is still offered, even to those who have rejected him. And this is the way that we're supposed to love one another. That's what he says. The same way that God loves us, we're supposed to love others. That means we're supposed to love people whether they love us back or not, whether they hurt us or not, whether they appreciate it or not. We're supposed to forgive people whether they forgive us or not. We're supposed to be kind to people whether they're kind to us or not, because that's exactly how God was to us. Amen. They crucified Jesus. They killed him. And that's what they'll do through you to God again when they reject the love of God. But yet, that's what we're commanded to do. Love is a one-way street, not a two-way street. Love is not reciprocal. Now, it's great if you get it back. It's great if you get it back. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Not so they could love him back, but that the world through him could be saved. Verse number 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, even though they rejected him. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Here it is again, the definition: God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse number 18. There is no fear in love. That's a convicting statement. What are you afraid of? Amen. Not having enough money at the end of the month? World War III? Dying of a disease? Tornado, snowstorm, blizzard, a murder, a rape, a burglary. What are you afraid of? Things not working out with your girlfriend or your boyfriend? Things not going the way you want them to go? What are you afraid of? There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And the word perfect is the word mature, grown up, whole. So what we need to learn is we need to learn God, who is love. And so the more we learn about God, the more we grow up and learn of God, grow up spiritually and learn more about God, who is love, the more we'll learn about love, the less and less we will fear things in life. Are you afraid of dying? Are you afraid of taking your last breath, going out into eternity? Perfect love hath no fear, the Bible says. I'm afraid that most people don't have Bible love. They don't have the love of God, perfect love. They're too hooked on selfish lust, selfish desires, selfish wants. And when those things or people forsake them or let them down, their whole world is crushed. You're pinning your hopes on an individual or a thing. But when you have your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll never let you down. He'll never leave you nor forsake you because He is love. And the more you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the more your faith grows, the more your love grows in Him, the less fear you'll have about anything. Even when things don't go your way, even if you lose everything, guess what? You still have love if you've got God. If everyone walks out on you, you still have God. Amen. If you lose everything, you still have God. Now, we wouldn't want to lose everything, but unfortunately, that's when you realize whether you love God or not. That proves the individual's character of how much they love God. If you lose everything, if you lose everyone. Verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Tell that to the Oral Roberts and the Pentecostals and Charismatics who claim to see God. They haven't seen God. They saw some image that Satan threw up in their face, or their own imagination, or had too much pizza last night. They're having these dreams and visions, and they think it's from God. It's not a God, ladies and gentlemen. But how can you hate a brother whom you've seen and supposedly love God whom you have not seen? God says you're a liar. Verse 21. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Look at 1 John chapter number 2, please. 1 John chapter number 2. Verse number 5. Well, look at starting at verse number 4. Let's go to verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's talking about the lust of the world, the sensual things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's pretty convicting, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? It really reveals how shallow our love really is, or lack of love. We claim love, but in light of Scripture, it's very, very convicting. Verse number 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. That's convicting, ladies and gentlemen. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Look at verse number 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse number 14. We know that we have passed from death into life, because we love the brethren. Don't you love coming to church? Huh? That's a good indication. That's a good confirmation from the Holy Ghost of God that you love God. I mean, that's one of the indications. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Not only are you not supposed to hate somebody, but if you don't love him or her, you're abiding in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. I didn't write this. You know, we talk about in the Old Testament, and by the way, I believe the laws ought to still apply, that adulterers and adulteresses ought to be stoned to death. There's nowhere in the New Testament that Jesus said to do away with those laws. But Jesus made it even stricter in the New Testament. He says, if you think on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Now, we're even stricter. He said, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Do people know that you love God? Do people know that you love people? Or do you have some kind of gripe or grievance? Or do you just have some kind of hatred about somebody or against somebody because they've hurt you? They've said something about you. They did something to you. Well, you and I all have done something against Jesus, but yet Jesus still went to the cross and died for your sin and for my sin. And the same way that he loved us, we're supposed to love other people. I know it hurts, but Jesus had turned the other cheek. I know. It's a kick in the gut, a stab in the back. Can you imagine what Jesus went through for your sin and for my sin? Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Look, I'm going to ask you a question. How can you spend money on your drink, your alcohol, your weed, your pot, your smoke, your heroin, your lottery tickets, your vanity, and not tithe and give so missionaries can go overseas and give the gospel, see people saved? How can you go to casinos and bet on horses? And how can you just throw money away on vanity, on $100 sneakers? How can you just spend money willy-nilly and not care? I mean, I'm just telling you what God said. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Look at 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. So everybody talks about love. So why are these kids killing each other and hating each other? Well, when you kick God out of school, you take love out of school. And all that's left is a vacuum of hate and anger and murder and wrath and vengeance and hypocrisy and lies. That's what you wanted. That's what you got. Anytime you take God out of the home, that's what you get. Knock down, drag out fights. Divorce, separation, murder, suicide. That's what you get. Loss of money, loss of estate, loss of house, loss of children. Anytime you take God out of church, that's what you get. People envious. I don't know about you. When I was growing up, lighting my candles, everybody wanted to go to church, see what everybody's wearing. I'm not exaggerating. I'm telling you, I'm just taking my father-in-law's word for it. I was going to church, was the richest Greek Orthodox church in America. Yeah. They put the biggest tithers, or the biggest givers, shouldn't say tithers, in plaques, brass plaques with their names at the top, so your name could be seen who was given the most. Very, very well to do, ladies and gentlemen. So everybody wants to see what everybody's wearing and hear the latest gossip. Well, you take God out of a church or out of a congregation or out of a group of people, you know what you have? Jealousy, envy, gossip, hatred, variance, hypocrisies. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Let's read that one more time slowly. By this we know that we love God. See, anybody can say, I love God, or I love so-and-so. Well, God is love. God is the Word of God. Is the Word of God is God. For John 1:1 and other places in the Bible, Revelation 19, he's the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. He said he's truth in John 14:6. So Jesus is love, God is love, the Holy Spirit is love. Equaling that this book is love. So only from this book can you find out what love really is and what God is. Listen to me good. Not from church, but from the book. Not from a man, from the book. Not from your imagination or from the world, but from a book. This book that you have in front of you. So he says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God. Here it is. That we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Is there something in the Bible that's too difficult for you to follow or obey? My Bible says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. We've been addicted so much to the world. We've been addicted to sensuality. We've been addicted to selfishness. We've been addicted to the love of money. We've been addicted to covetousness. We've been addicted to idolatry. We've been addicted to everything else except God. But if you love God, then you'll love the brethren. You'll love one another. You'll love the Word of God, and his commandments are not grievous if you love God. This is the love of God, he said. And all of us are growing, or we're backsliding. We're either getting closer and closer to God and loving God more and more, or we're falling away and rebelling against God and leaving God. So ask yourself, where are you right now? Are you getting closer and closer to God and loving God more and more, or are you backsliding and leaving God's presence and the love of God and becoming more bitter, angry, short, impatient with others and with yourself and with God? These are the definitions of love right here. We just read these. 2 John verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. So it's the truth, it's the love of the Word of God, the love of the truth that binds us to God and binds us to each other, that we love one another because of the truth that made us free, the salvation that made us free. Look at verse number 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love. Here's the definition. That we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it.
Amen.
3 John, verse number 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So it's loving in the truth, which is the Word of God, which is God. Look at Jude, verse number 21. He goes, before that, he's talking about the murmurers and the complainers. And in verse 19, these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. Verse 20 now. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Pay attention to this now. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So you can, because iniquity doth abound, Jesus said, the love of many is going to wax cold. Because our society is rampant with sin and transgression, iniquity, and everybody just about is rebelling against God, the love of many is going to wax cold. And you and I have to be careful to keep ourselves in the love of God when we're going the opposite direction than the world is. The world's on the way to hell. We're going to be with Jesus in heaven, amen? Well, we are commanded and encouraged to keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for his mercy. Look what it says. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when I opened up, I said, it'll only be, listen to me good, the judgment of God, when we plead for his mercy, that'll reveal his love to us. I don't find anywhere in the Bible, and I'll explain this a little later tonight, anywhere in the Bible that God loves everybody. You won't find that. But he does say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, God sends his love out to everyone, and it's available for everyone, but it's everyone's decision whether they receive that love. But the same way, God sends his judgment out, and God sends his wrath out, just like he sends his mercy out, and his truth out, and his love out. And whichever one you want is what you're going to get. Whichever one you ask for is what you're going to get. Whichever one you surrender to is what you're going to get. You want to rebel against God? God's wrath is going to be on you. God's curse is going to be on you. If you want to surrender and say, God, please be merciful to me, man, you're going to get the mercy of God and the love of God, ladies and gentlemen, that comes along with it. But I haven't found anywhere in the Bible that it says anywhere, this will be good, that God loves everyone. Take a Bible, turn to Romans chapter number 8, please. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Verse number 35. There is nothing that can happen in your life. There's not a person in your life that can destroy your relationship with God except you. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? All right, here's the question, and here's the answer. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So now God refines the definition of him being love. It's just not God generic form. It's just not God that the Buddhists or the Hindus or all the other pagan heathen religions can claim as their God. It's now refined to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have God and you don't have love, because God is love. And he says here, nothing shall be able to separate us. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you get that, turn to Romans chapter 5, you get that love at salvation. Romans chapter number 5. Verse number 8. But God commendeth his love. And the word commendeth is an old English word that means God showed. Okay? It's that simple. But God commendeth his love toward us. Here's how he showed it. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then he showed that he loved us by Jesus dying for us. Look at verse number 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because, watch this, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So he refines it even down now. We said God is love. Then we come to Romans chapter number 8, where it's refined down that love of God is found in Jesus Christ. But not only there, you have to go one step further to make sure you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, so the Holy Ghost that comes inside of you at salvation, the love of God is shed abroad, that's what it says, in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And you can only have the Holy Ghost at salvation. So the love of God is only for those who have heard of the judgment of God, pled for his mercy, and God revealed how much he loved them. Hey, have you realized that you were a sinner on your way to hell one day without hope, without Jesus Christ? And that you had to ask God for mercy to save your soul? If you have done that, then you can realize how much God loves you. Until you do that, you will not know the love of God. If you're lighting your candles and going to confessional booths and you're doing penance and you're doing the rosary and you're doing all this other stuff that's not in the Bible, that's a works religion, then you don't know salvation, ladies and gentlemen. If you're trying to be moral enough and good enough and work enough so you can go to heaven and maybe I hope I get there, you don't know the love of God, ladies and gentlemen. You don't know, because God is love. You don't know God. You may know your religion, you may know your church, you may know your traditions, but you don't know God and you don't know love. What's wrong with our schools is they don't have love. You can have the smartest, most intelligent people teaching classes. You can have the best neighborhoods. This will be good. You can have the best classified school districts, and there'd be hatred and wrath in there. That's why they're killing each other. It's not complicated. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, have you taken any kind of history classes? America's had guns for 400, 500 years. This land was founded with the gun in the Bible. But when you take God out, you create a vacuum that is filled with wrath and anger and hatred. When you take God out of your life, that vacuum is going to be filled with anger and bitterness, wrath and jealousy and envy, and you're going to spiral downward because you didn't keep the love of God. And keeping the love of God is by obeying the word of God, as we just said here. Take your Bible, please, turn with me to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13. This passage here deals with false prophets, like the charismatic Pentecostals who see visions and dreams and people believe their lies. Deuteronomy 13. See, everybody wants to say, oh, I love God. Just because you say that doesn't mean you love God. Just because you say you love your husband or you love your wife doesn't mean that you love them. Just because you say you love your parents or love your children doesn't mean you love them. Just because those words come out of your mouth, you're going to read this, doesn't mean you love. You're just saying that because it makes you feel better. You want to soothe and ease your conscience, maybe. Deuteronomy 13, verse number 3. Here's what he says about those false prophets. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Watch this now. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So God gives these fake, phony, fraud, religious theologians and ministers to prove whether or not you really do love God. And the only way you know how you love God is found by keeping his commandments in the very word of God, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And everything in between, ladies and gentlemen, not excising out the things that you don't like. Ecclesiastes 9:1 says, no man knoweth either love or hatred. You don't know what love or hatred is, because you look at some things that some preacher is saying and say, man, he hates people. That's hate speech. But if you look in the Bible, say, God's blessed of that, man. God's blessed of that. 2 Chronicles 19 says, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. That's what God says. So we have to learn to love God and love each other according to Scripture, not what we think, especially in light of Ecclesiastes 9:1, where no man knoweth what love is outside Scripture. Take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah chapter number 5. Jeremiah chapter number 5. I cannot urge you enough to read the Word of God.
Amen.
I don't care if you got it on CD, tape, cassette, whatever thing is today. You listen to it as much as you possibly can. You read as much as you possibly can. Because this book is love. And if you want love, read this book. Everybody wants to read a devotional, one verse or two, and then read a whole three paragraphs about one verse. Why don't you read the Word of God, that's the book of love, from the God of love? It'll teach you how to love people. Because these devotionals stay away from what you would consider controversial subjects, which is part of the love of God. God says to hate evil. Do you hate evil? 1 Corinthians 13 says that charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. Do you rejoice in iniquity? That's part of the love. Part of God, part of the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter number 5. A little too late for that now, brother. Jeremiah 5. We can't even get God back into the churches, let alone the schools. We can't even get God back into the homes, let alone the schools. Jeremiah 5. Verse number 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. Now watch this. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? So most of God's people are loving things they have no business loving. They're going to churches with no King James Bible. And his people love to have it so. There's no preaching against sin. There's no preaching about the old time values and getting right with God. And my people love to have it. They love to have it so. The object of their love is not God Almighty. It's themselves and their sensuality, their laziness, or their sin. Ezekiel 33, please. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. Verse number 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh. And they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words. But they will not do them. Contrary to 1 John 5, 2, and 3. For, watch this, for with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Everybody wants to say, oh, I love so-and-so, fill in the blank. Oh, I love so-and-so, fill in the blank. Contrary to what they're doing. Take your Bible, please, turn with me to Hosea chapter number 9. Two books later, Hosea chapter number 9. If your eyes and your face is not in this book, your heart's going to get cold. If you don't take a daily shower in the King James Bible, your conscience, your spirit, your attitude, your life is going to be spiraling downward, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to become bitter because people hurt you on purpose. People are going to lie about you. They're going to deceive you. And you're going to say, how could you do that? Well, if you read the Word of God, you'll understand why they did that. Hosea chapter number 11. I'm sorry, Hosea 9. I apologize. Hosea 9. Verse number 15. All their wickedness is in Gilgal. For there, God speaking, I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of mine house. I have this underlined in my Bible. You do whatever you want with it, but it's part of God. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Can you imagine the God who made you saying to you one day, I will love you no more? Can you imagine living the rest of your life going out into eternity with a statement that God Almighty, the God of love, I will love you no more. That's why Jude said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Because if you're not careful, you're going to spiral out of control. And your liquor and your drugs, you're going to love more than God. You're going to love your partying more than the house of God. You're going to love the banqueting house and the feasting place more than the prayer meeting. You're gonna love the talk shows and the television more than winning people to Jesus Christ. You're gonna enjoy the things of the world more than the Word of God itself. And as I said earlier, Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 5, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's what Jesus said. He said, Pastor, but you don't know what they did to me. Well, you know what they did to Jesus. You don't know what she said. You don't know what he did. Well, I know what they did to Jesus. Because if you don't do that, you're endangering what God said in Hosea 9, verse number 15, to happen upon you. And I would not want to live one second of my life without the love of God. I'd rather know that God loves me than anyone else in the world love me. I'd rather lose everyone and everything, but not God. I'd rather be by myself with the love of God than have the whole world behind me without God. And that's where we're heading to. People would rather have themselves and others, a multitude going to desolation, a multitude going to hell, a multitude going to death, hand in hand, joined in hand, without God. Having a good time on their way to hell without God, the love of God. Hey, you want to love your wife? You better read what the book says. You want to love your husband? You better read what the book says. You want to love your parents or your children? You better read what the book says. You want to love your neighbor as yourself? Jesus said, you better read what the book says. And by the way, let me just say this. I can't remember how many verses, at least 5 or 10 verses I read in this whole list I have here, that God says you ought to love the stranger that's in your land. I believe we ought to build a wall, but while the strangers are here, God said you ought to love them because you were a stranger in the land of Egypt and we were lost on our way to hell before God loved us, and we ought to love the stranger like Jesus loved us, by the way. Amen. And instead, you know what it is? Personally, I believe it is? Is the love of many has waxed so cold that they've refused to surrender to the mission field, so God's brought the mission field to your face. You don't want to go overseas? That's all right. God has brought overseas right to your next door neighbor. And you're still mad at them. You're still not witnessing to them. You're still not trying to win them to Jesus. You know why? Because the love of money has waxed cold. Went over and over, Old Testament, New Testament, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. You're supposed to love the stranger as you love yourself. You know why? Because God is love. And he refined that in Romans chapter number 8, that love of God is found in Jesus Christ. And you find that even further in Romans chapter number 5, that the Holy Ghost has shed abroad the love through the Holy Ghost in our hearts at salvation. It's available for those of us who trusted Jesus to be their Savior. But that love of God is even refined further in 1 John 5, 2 and 3 for those who keep and obey the word of God, because his commandments are not grievous. What we need is we need people of God getting back to God. This sermon is not for the person next to you, behind you, in front of you. This is for you. This is for me. This sermon is for each of us to love God the way God commands us to love him. Not the way the world loves. That's a hypocritical love. Queers and sodomites have no idea what love is. Most people on Wall Street and the stock market, they have a love of money, man. Listen to me good. They don't care about souls. They don't care about people. And I'm not against stock market. I'm not against Wall Street. Please, don't misunderstand me. But they don't know what love is. Their love is in money. Or their love is themselves. And they're their own God. Let's love God, because God is love. Let's all stand. Dear God, thank you for loving us. We say that so flippantly sometimes. But the fact, Lord, that we're here today is a testament to your love that was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost of God. I thank you, Lord, for the day that we trusted you to be our Savior when we found out about the judgment, the soon coming hell that we richly deserve for all eternity that we spend there. And I thank you, dear God, that right behind that judgment was your mercy, opening the door to your love. And dear God, I thought I knew what love was before, and I thought I loved people, and I thought I loved right, but I didn't know what love was until I got saved. Not until I realized I was a sinner, on my way to hell. When you saved my soul through your mercy, did I understand how much you really love me. And Lord, you told us clearly in 1 John that we're supposed to love others the way you loved us. We're supposed to love them before they love us, whether they love us back or not, because you are love. Thank you for loving us. Please bless this invitation. I pray, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, they don't know love, I pray they get saved this morning. And I pray, dear God, maybe there's people in here, maybe they've had a tough time this week or things have happened. People have hurt them, let them down. Dear God, I pray, Lord, they would keep themselves in thy love and love those people anyway, the way you loved us. Bless, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you do business with God. God's people praying.